session number 11190, reel 6.
You know, Guarnieri, reel 6.
And when they doing all the three together, oh, all you could see it was fire, flames coming out from the cannon. All their luggage was falling down where we ended up. The boat was shaking like a leaf, it was shaking. But it was a very big convoy, very big.
And did you have comfortable accommodation?
No, not too bad, but they were very tight accommodation because they were troops. So I suppose we were treated like the troops, you know.
All
those women, yes. The only thing we could mix there with the women, you know, they was coming back to London. We were free like anybody.
Was it a very different feeling?
Oh, very. Yeah, very different. Because we all made friends a lot with the women that was there. They were very nice to us. You know, they knew we were internee and so on. They were very nice. Oh, we enjoyed the trip coming back.
And when you arrived in England, well, what was the procedure? You know, were you just free to go home, or did you have to report somewhere?
No, they... when we come back, I asked him if I could go and work in my shop, in my restaurant, and they said, no, you'll have to go in a milk farm. But I started young having arthritis, very young. And I had, at that time I had a shoulder that it was aching. So they asked me if I was suffering for anything. So I said, well, not really. I said, only arthritis. I'm suffering in the arms. I get it now and again. Oh, he says, then you'll have to go and see the military specialist for that and we'll see what he says. So they sent me to this military, he checked up, and think at that time I think it was a bit swollen. So he said, well, even that I could not understand, because he said, yes, you can go back and report it. You don't have to go to the farm, your farm. So I reported back, and they said to me, well, you can't go back on your own restaurant. You'll have to find yourself another job somewhere else. So I went to work for a friend of mine. He had a restaurant. So I said, you need anybody? So he says, yes. He says, I can always go. I explained the situation. He said, you can always. And I think it went on for about a year, I think. About a year that I was working there.
Had the war finished then?
Yes, even after the war was finished. I think it was about a year.
Do you feel bitter about what happened to you in the war? You know, I wonder how you feel.
No, the only thing I've... Did you finish your sentence? No, the only thing I feel a bit bitter, as I said, when we come back from the... from the Arandora Star, I didn't think it was fair of them to send us away again. As I said before, I thought it would have been more generous, more humane. I said, all right, look, you had some bad luck there, and some of them were injured, a lot of them died, you had a bad experience. All right, it will turn you air. And or otherwise pass a tribunal, because when we arrived in Australia, they said to us, now, if you want to pass a tribunal, you'll have to go back to England. He says, and then we don't know. You'll have to pass a tribunal. So we don't know if you'll be free. It will depend how they feel like. Well, a lot of them didn't go back, because then at that time they were sinking a lot of boats. But then one lot, about 40, went back, I think. I might be mistaken in numbers. But the convoy was attacked 3 days running. And nearly everyone lost. Nearly everyone. Then it went on a bit more. And those who had people in London who had wives and children, they couldn't stick it over there no more. They said, well, I must take a chance. I can't stop here just doing nothing. They felt they had to be back with their wives and children, and they took chances. And I think two small lot got through. One of them, it was with Guido Baldi, that he got through. And three lot, I think, came back.
But you didn't contemplate that?
Of me coming back? No, I said my life is worth more than the money, because I had nobody in London. My sister went back to Italy, I didn't have my sister. So I didn't have nobody in my family. So I said, especially when I saw the other lot that went down, I said, what's with going back? Then I might not, then they might not set me free. They might put me in the internment camp over there. So I said, well, I'd rather stick it there. And the money, well, there'll be plenty of time.
Do you have any feelings of resentment that you were interned at all? That the British government acted as they did in 1940?
I think they should have passed this tribunal straight away, instead of sending us to Australia. Why send us to Australia and then say, look, now this is your internment camp. If you want to pass a tribunal, you'll have to go. We can't leave you, because Australia wouldn't let us free in Australia. They said it's up to the English government to set you free. So you'll have to go back. Those who want to be, think they want to be released, to pass a tribunal, is their choice if they want to go back to England. But why send us? They should, I reckon they should. Mind you, everything happened so quickly, I suppose. France was nearly falling and so on. So I suppose you've got to take that in consideration. So I suppose they thought, well, this is our enemy, the best thing to get rid of them as quick as we can, and then we'll see after. So you've got to balance the thing. You know, I resented it in one way, and then in another way, probably I would have done the same, I don't know. So you can't really, make up your mind, really, if I was right to resent them, or would I have done the same thing if I was in their position?
Did you take out naturalisation, when you settled down in England after the war? You know, are you naturalised?
No, I'm still still got an Italian national, Italian passport.
You ever tempted to become a British subject?
No, not really, because I was born Italian. So I thought to myself, all right, if I was looking from the point of view in business, it would have been better that I would have been naturalised. But on the other hand, I said, well, I've got all the same,
the sort of rights.
Sort of rights as an Englishman. So why should I change my nationality? I was born Italian, so it's only right that I die an Italian. Because in the eye of an Englishman, I will be always an Italian. In fact, there was an inspector, he kept on CID asking me, to get naturalised. So one day I told him, I said, if you were in Italy, would you change your nationality? He said, I'm an Englishman. So I said, well, what difference is it? I said, you're an Englishman, I'm an Italian. Tell me, what difference is there between me and you? Now you know what I feel. I had to change my nationality. I said, I haven't got anything against England. I said, I earn my living here. I respect English people. They respect me. So why go through these books things? So he said to me, he said, it would be better if you change your nationality, because you're in business. If you do anything wrong, he says, they can't. He says, I can help you, providing you keep your nose clean. I says, well, if I keep my nose clean, I don't need you. I said, well, he said, put it another way. If you do anything wrong and you change your nationality, they can't deport you. He says, they can't deport you, you know, if you do anything wrong, being an Italian. So I said, well, if I do anything wrong, they got every right to send me back. I says, I have no intention of doing anything wrong. So, but if I should, if I was tempted and I should, I said, they got every right to think. So he says, oh, well, I can't argue with you. Then jokingly, he says, I can't argue with you. He says, but I do respect your thing. He says, because I would do it the same. He says, I would never change my nationality. He says, I don't trust people must change their nationality.
Do you think of home as being Italy still? Or, you know, where is home to you, do you think?
When I'm here, I think home is in Italy. When I'm in Italy, I think home is here in England. I just cannot make up my mind. Because, well, I think I have more friends here than in Italy. Probably now that I'm not working, I go more over there. I made a few new friends, I got quite a few over there. But all my relations, really, nephews, brothers and sisters, I only got one sister here. All my other sisters are in Italy. But I got a load of nephews here. So I feel at home here as well because I got so many nephews I've got. And they're all nice, they're all hardworking. None of them ever been in trouble. They're all, you know, respectable, which I'm very pleased because I was the one that sent for them. And my wife was very hard on them. She used to see that they never got into trouble. So we get on fine with them. So therefore, I got so many relations there that I feel at home even there that is not my country.
When you look back upon your war, you know, and the internment and the deportations. You know, you have explained a lot of the things you suffered and went through, but do you think you gained anything from the experience? Was it important to your life in any way, do you think?
No, I don't think so.
Did you learn anything through the experience, do you think, which has stood you in the
state? Well, I've learned that if another war should come, I would be very afraid, because anything can happen during the war. Like Hitler, you know, things that he'd done, which normally you would never dream that it would happen in our days, in our age. And that really scared me, because all you need, I think, a bit of propaganda. I mean, they only got start propaganda for 6 months on the papers. Those dirty so-and-so, no matter what country it is. They make people hate that country, really, that eager them to go to war. And that's what I'm afraid. I'm really afraid, though at my age, I mean, I shouldn't be, because I won't have much long to go. But it would really scare me if another war should come. But I see what propaganda can do. They can really twist you, brainwash you. They can, like they used to do in Russia. I think it only takes about 6 months to do things like that. And then once you're at war, the victor can do what he likes. And, that.
I suppose, really, you see, you were away for, what was it, 5 years, weren't
yes.
you? 5 years of your young life.
Yes.
Do you think your career or your profession, you lost out because of that, do you think?
Well, I've lost out. I don't think I've lost out because I'd have to look at it in the other way. If I would have been in Italy, I would have been at war. Here, all right, probably if they would have let me free, then probably I wouldn't. I might have made a few pounds in the restaurant, you know, in working. But if they would have said to me, look, you're an alien, we'll send you out in a farm, you've got to work in a farm, it's like a prison of war. So therefore, I wouldn't have made any money. So then in that case, I wouldn't have lost anything. I wouldn't. It was the war that made me lose those 5 years. There, yes, I've got really, I'm really bitter about that. I was 26, and as I said, I thought I was sitting on top of the world when I paid my debt. And I said, lovely, I'm 30, I'll start looking for a girl to get married, you know. Because before I couldn't go because I was paying my debts. I said, well, now life is going to start. Instead, everything went wrong and I lost those 5 years. I'm blaming the war, not the one who made the war. Not the English people or thing. No, the one who declares war. That's because there shouldn't have been a war. Because I think it's terrible war. Terrible for everybody. Because even if the victors, I mean, all right, they won. But look, even the victors, they must have lost a lot of people. And look at the families. It's all right, the governor said, we won. Yes, but what about those that lost their wife, their husband and sons? They were the losers, even if their country won. But they were the losers. I don't think there should have been a war. No, I'm bitter about the war, but not because I was interned. Yes, as I was interned, I said they could have been generous and said, look, you go home after what you went through. But I suppose they got so much, the top one, they had so much in their head that it was just a trifle thing. Us, we were just a needle in a haystack.
Did it put you off Britain at all, though, the way you'd been treated on the Dunera?
No, because I knew that they were an oddly English people, you could say, because I knew it was a perfect, like the one on the Arandora Star, they were acting different altogether. When I saw the officer, that I think he was nearly crying when he took us to the boat to put us on the Dunera, because he said they wouldn't send us away. And I thought, he's a real gentleman. He is an officer, an English gentleman. Because when he said, I'm sorry, I gave the word of a thing. And I thought, he is a gentleman and he is an English officer. So I didn't connect him with the one, what they'd done to us on the Dunera. No, on the whole, as I said, they're all English people over there, but every morning, good morning, Gino, good morning, so on, they will call me by name. And in business, as I was saying, I was always dealing with the, well, always, not always, but always with the police, you know, with their dancing and so on. And I was getting on fine with them, everyone. The only thing, I don't mix with them in pubs. I hate going in pubs. I don't like pubs.
Well, you have a very good stock of your own delicious wine.
Yes, so I don't have to go to the pubs.
No, don't blame you. Yeah. Well, Gino, thank you very much indeed for telling me so many of your war experiences, particularly on the Arandora Star and Dunera. Yep. Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, well, I should thank you for listening. And put up with me.
And that lovely food as well.
I hope I haven't said anything that offend the English people.
I don't think there's anything.
I don't think I have.
No, I'm sure you haven't. Thank you very much, Gino. Thank you.
No, take care.